7:21 back on the KYMN Morning Show, and very pleased and grateful to be joined by City Administrator Ben Martig and Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Thank you both for braving the weather and coming in on a what is an incredibly busy morning here at the radio station, too. So we appreciate you being here.
I feel like a celebrity with that introduction.
You are a celebrity.
You're so gracious. Thank you, Rich. Yeah, we're happy to be here, too.
Yes. It's actually really kind of nice out. I'm not encouraging people to get out and about. But
no.
The plaza been out, and the streets are they're pretty open. And
I want to give a shout-out to the Northfield Public Works Department.
Yeah.
They're killing it right now. They're doing a great job. I frankly did not expect my co-host, Lisa Peterson, to even get in today. She told me last night, if the roads are bad, I'm not coming in. And now she's ticked off because the roads were good and she had to come in. But, the roads are actually, don't go out and test them, folks. If you're home, stay home. But the roads are in pretty good shape in Northfield, at least for the moment.
I got cross-country skis that she can borrow if she needs to. I can drop them off for her. She can get home on some skis.
My wife just bought a brand new pair of snowshoes, too.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
it's a perfect day for that.
So last night there was a Northfield City Council meeting, and not a real heavy agenda last night, which is fine with me from time to time. But there was some stuff that happened. We have three brand new police officers in Northfield. That's good news.
That is really good news. So it was really great to be able to swear in or watch the swearing in of those three additional police officers. Two of them are due to some vacancies, and then another was added for some continuity, I would say, because we know that there's some retirements coming up.
Right.
And all three coming with some just really great experience, background. Some of them have had some experience with Northfield before.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very fortunate because not all departments are able to attract, recruit, retain really quality police officers. And we've been very fortunate to be able to do that.
P.T. Hyder, who's the assistant police chief, was standing right next to me when they were being sworn in, and I just kind of leaned and I said, does this mean you guys are fully staffed? And he kind of looked at me and said, well, for now.
Yeah, we have a lot of retirements coming up that we know of, and the council's talked about this during our budgeting and succession planning and that kind of a thing. But our officers that last evening, they'll be going into our field training program, where they're assigned a field training officer who's specifically been trained to train in our new people. And they work on every shift with them to instruct them on their job as a police officer. They're also evaluated through observation and written reports of their performance through the field training officer. So it takes 6 months to kind of go through that formal process.
Right.
So it's there's a pretty heavy onboarding. Like the mayor said, they do have some experience. We're fortunate to have recruited some men. We know from other cities, we have cities who have standing vacancies because they can't fill some positions on that. And so we've been fortunate to be recruiting people here and then getting them trained and hopefully keep them here.
You know, Ben, you and I have actually had a conversation about this. We're lucky in Northfield that we can get people applying. In St. Peter, they had a couple of police positions open. Nobody applied. We're fortunate in Northfield, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, the council's made some investments in compensation so that we're competitive at the middle of the market and competitiveness, and hopefully we have built a culture, which I think we have, that's respected by the community. Outsiders, police officers talk to, so they know kind of what's going on, too. And I'm not saying St. Peter's got issues, but the more you can do to have good, solid professional operations, the better. If there's officers who like a more action, they're probably not going to be coming to Northfield as much as like if they wanted to be in like Hennepin County doing more like emergency responses on a regular basis. But we think we're attractive to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so the once all that was done, the liquor license. There were a couple of liquor licenses that were issued yesterday because we have one brand new establishment open and one well-established place under new management.
Yeah, so yes, two, and both of those approved unanimously, and it was just really great to have the owners right there in the council chambers and to take the time to really just introduce themselves to the council and to the community,
right,
really as a whole. And so it's just wonderful to see that turnover of long established entities within our community, that there's a new generation of owners coming on. And so for the Grand Event Center, we approved that liquor license for Jake Mulford and Lindsay Ness.
Yep.
And then we had Raven's Nest Cafe, which is really on the at the back of the Farmstead Bike Shop.
Right.
It's
right.
Really a cool space. If you have not been in there, please take the time to go in there. And that was for Brianna Melford, was the owner representative. Mad Farmer, LLC, DBA, Raven's Nest Cafe. I'm like, Mad Farmer. All right.
The crepes at Raven's Nest are there. I've been over there a few. Brianna and Greg are friends of mine, so mm-hmm. I highly endorse the crepes at Raven's Nest Cafe. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's just great to be able to support both those businesses.
Right, right. I have to ask, we need to talk about the weather and what's going on out here, but I have to ask, there was one more item on the agenda last night when we were talking about floating districts that I missed a meeting. And I,
you're not allowed to miss meetings, Rich.
I know. I went on vacation and I'm paying for it now. I don't even understand what we were talking about last night. I know that Michaela Schmidt very much knows what she's talking about, but I couldn't discern anything what was going on last night. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. So the Neighborhood Center Floating District really was an opportunity for the council to identify specific parcels that are along our arterial or collector streets, right? There's specific parcels that have been identified for a greater density of housing.
Okay.
And so it's really making that more possible to be able to, at key intersections, really is where it is, where you can multi-story, I think 4 to 8 units, I think, is what it is. So it's the Planning Commission has been working on it for some time, and it's new.
Okay.
And I think that I was the only one that voted against it, and simply because I prefer a conditional use permit versus just a permitted use. I am fully behind and supportive of increased density, and especially at key locations where it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just that second reading of the ordinance.
The conditional use permit, as I understand it, would give the city a little more say in what actually goes into a building, correct? Or the construct design of a building?
In some ways. I mean, we do have there's all sorts of internal processes, and Michaela went over that a little bit last night, kind of checks and balances that are happening regardless of whether it's a conditional use permit or not. The CUP does allow the council to put some additional conditions on it if necessary or if they're warranted. That process that would allow the council to be able to do that and have more of a have it vetted in an open public meeting is not, that's taken out of the equation when it's a permitted use within the table.
I get it. Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah. And regardless, this last night was the second reading.
Yep.
The ordinance did pass, and so now we have these floating districts.
Yeah, floating. I'd like to, like, maybe kind of like you flying by the seat of your pants.
Exactly.
I'd like to see a visual of this.
I think of Rihanna at the Super Bowl on the floating stage.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah.
Like
all right.
Yeah.
So it is snowing, and we are going to be dealing with a, if you believe the predictors, anywhere from another 9 to 20 inches of snow in the next 24 hours. I'm assuming the city's ready.
Oh, yeah, we are ready. Yes.
Yeah, so we have potentially a 3-day historic winter storm that could bring, you know, widespread snow. And right now it's also blowing out there. And so that's an issue, and drifting through Thursday, really. And it could be in the top 5 all time in Minnesota, depending on what we might see. So top snow amounts, a little over 28 inches in that infamous Halloween storm that we had in 91.
Through it, yep.
82 had back-to-back ones where they had 20 inches, and then a couple days later they had 17 and a half inches.
When was
almost.
That?
That was 1982.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And then like 2010 was 17. So with what we're taking a look at, we're seeing that we could be pushing that. Hopefully we won't get to those 1980s with those combined ones or the 1990s. But it could be serious poor conditions out there. And so travel will be disrupted today. We could have 12 to 16 inches of snow, maybe 15 to 20 where we are through the multiple days. Fortunately, with the spacing of it, we've gotten a start to that. And like the mayor said, driving in, my general observation was, things are pretty cleared out. But we know blizzard conditions could be out there blowing and gusting, particularly later today. It's going to be kicking up and the wind's going to kick up. So avoid travel is one thing I would say.
Yeah.
Mayor. Yeah, absolutely. Today's a good day to stay home. If you need a small window to run to the grocery store, now's it.
Yeah, right now.
Now's it. But yeah, just for people to take the time, it's just really important for all of our emergency responders. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When people go out and they get stuck, somebody's got to come get you.
Mm-hmm. We've had Police Chief Elliott was here on Thursday, and we were able actually to have a kind of an extended conversation with him. And I it's his job, but I can't even count the number of times the term public safety came up talking with Chief Elliott. And this is what we're dealing with today. This is a public safety issue. If you can stay home, stay home.
Yep. Yep. Please stay home.
Yeah.
That's good.
I've got two kids at home. I think the school was wise to cancel school for the next couple of days. Yep. But that means your kids are supposed to be home learning school and not out and about, too. Maybe get some exercise and enjoy the outdoors some. But
e-learning days. to those of us born at a certain time, e-learning days are kind of a mystery. My kids were out of school before the word e ever came into effect. But I'm sure that, the nice thing about these e-learning days is it doesn't push the middle of the end of school into the middle of June, too, which is nice.
Yeah, it'll be like instead of my parents telling me how my mom lived just outside of town and would have to walk like 5 miles into town in the winter, I'll be telling my grandkids that I used to just get to take the day off of school when there wasn't school. And then a new generation would be so advanced, they won't be able to comprehend that.
Yeah. No days off for you.
Okay. Well, and real briefly, we've talked about this a lot on this station, on the morning show, and I think we're going to keep talking about this because I think this issue is really important, and it's a long-term story. Last week, I was able to attend one of the workshops for the for downtown development. They're talking specifically about the developing the Archer Block, which is what we're calling the area between 2nd Street now and 4th Street. But these community conversations about what we're going to do downtown and with the riverfront, they're going to keep happening, aren't they?
Yes, they are going to keep happening.
That's good.
Was that our cue?
I guessed, yes. Sorry.
I guess I would just say that, we've hosted in March. We're going to be ramping up to some public ones. You Rich, and Jeff were invited to a business owners and property owners meetings that we've been hosting a series of four meetings last week by Bob and Bruce, who have been doing some facilitating, to get some direct feedback. We'll be rolling into that same presentation to the public in March. It's really following what we presented to the council, and they gave the green light to go start getting information. And I think the mayor could speak to it, too. But this is the beginning of a conversation, and the community can help build what that vision might be. We've got some ideas, and the council's got guiding documents. But we're planning on moving to action eventually on a number of these projects. Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to be driven by just development, redevelopment. And then others, I think, will just be more planful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really exciting because we had an 18-month, I think, process where we were looking at the Riverfront Enhancement Action Plan from our southern border all the way up to our northern border. And things are just fortuitously, aligning where we can we've given direction in this last strategic plan that we really want to see things implemented. We don't want to stay in Northfield's sweet spot of just always dreaming and visioning, but mm-hmm. never implementing. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful for us as a community. And this is the beginning of that implementation
right.
of that riverfront corridor. And again, just things are aligning. We have the between 5th and Water, and then this section between 2nd and 4th. There's just a lot of great possibilities here, and we've been able to keep on Bob and Bruce, or the B2
yeah.
guys, you know, to really help us and stay connected, because they were played a really key role in that riverfront mm-hmm. Plan. And now to stay here within our community, they know our community, they knew it through that planning, and now they're here again helping us to take it to that next stage of implementation. And that's not something that we have normally had the benefit of.
Right.
Usually you invite in consultants to help you get the plan in place, and then poof, they're gone. And you're left with, okay, how do you now take a plan that is your dream, your vision? You had a lot of public input. People gave a lot of time, 18 months of planning, right? And you take that thing that is just really important and now bring it to life yeah. in actual actionable items that helps to move your community forward. And so it's just fantastic to be able to have that continuity of Bob and Bruce in the Riverfront Enhancement Action planning efforts, and now looking at, okay, how can we move this forward? And those built relationships are just so important.
They really are.
They've helped us with Bridge Square. They have built relationships with Vintage Band.